Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The only way to be an expert is through experience.
Yeah.
I think experience helps you so much in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I see now everyone is in such a hurry, not everyone, but a lot of people are in a hurry to have the title or to have the whatever. But then you get to that position and you're not equipped. You don't know how to deal with it.
Hello and welcome back. Today I'm joined by the beauty maven Alessandra Steinher. Alex started her career in magazines where she worked through the ranks to become Glamour's beauty director before taking the leap into working with brands and as an influencer. Those of you who follow Alex on Instagram, and I'll put a link to her profile below in case you don't, will know that her knowledge on skincare is encyclopedic, so it came as little surprise when Alex decided to launch her own range in collaboration with Primark, and even less of a surprise that it sold out multiple times. In this episode, Alex shares some of her beauty philosophies, including the importance of working from the inside out and of having a routine, and explains how she built her career and how she navigated the famously tricky magazine world. Here's Alessandra. Hello, Alessandra.
Hello.
Or Alex, rather, for the purposes of your collaboration.
Do you know what? Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, my name is Alessandra, but you know why it's Alex? It's because actually when when I had to put my name, actually, I think it was Twitter at first, Alessandra Steiner was too long.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't accept it. Obviously, Alessandra is how I get called in my private life.
Yeah.
And Alex is like my public name.
So when you introduce yourself to new friends, like at a dinner party,
Alessandra.
Okay, so that feels like that's you.
Yeah, but when I love Alex. I kind of always loved it because I felt it could be a boy or a name, or a girl's name. And I loved it because in my own way that I am, I'm a bit of a mix of a boy and a girl.
I was going to say, you always talk about that. You're a bit of a tomboy.
I've always been a tomboy growing up, and I have this like my face and my hair. If you were like. My head is girl and the rest, like I don't really dress super feminine. Not that I think nowadays it doesn't matter anymore. But I mean, I'm not someone who wears dresses or skirts. Yeah. I'm a tomboy. So the name Alex, I quite like because it's a bit of
androgynous,
a bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about young, I'm not going to say this right. Tell me about young Alessandra. Alessandra. Alessandra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So little girl.
Little girl, you know, I was always, surprisingly, I always talked a lot. That never changed. I was very smiley, very open, and always very interested, very curious. As a child. So we're talking
really
young.
Okay.
Very kind of outgoing and like, just really curious and would talk to anybody.
And you're Austrian-German.
Yes, my dad is German. My mom is from Austria.
Where did they meet?
They met on an airplane.
Oh.
Going from Frankfurt to Toronto.
Okay.
Where my mom was working in Toronto. She was working for Air Canada, but not on the plane, like in the head office or something.
Yeah.
And my dad was studying economics.
Okay.
So he was a student and my mom was like working. Yeah.
And how many little Steiners did they have?
To my knowledge, two.
Okay.
My brother and myself. Yeah.
Okay. So when you were growing up, what were you seeing? What did your mum look like? Was beauty a big part of your emotional landscape?
My mom is still to this day incredibly like, I would say glamorous is an overused word, but she really is. And I remember very vividly, you know, because my parents had quite a sociable life. So I remember sitting in the bathroom on the floor when she was getting ready. And it was just my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Seeing her do her makeup. And then she dressed beautifully because she still dresses beautifully. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother was probably my biggest beauty inspiration. Mm-hmm. But it came because my grandmother was kind of a fashion designer. Back in the day, it was different. She had like a boutique, you know, because women would have their clothes, you know, you wouldn't go to Primark or Zara. Yeah. Like, you'd go to a women of a certain means would go and have their clothes done.
Yes.
And so she had like a boutique where she made to measure clothes.
Fascinating.
And so my mom was always beautifully dressed because basically my grandmother, you know, did all her dresses. And so I remember, yeah, my mom watching her and I just thought she was so, and then it was more, you know what, it was the makeup, but it was the smell. Right. It was, my memory, because of course I remember watching her, but what comes up is the smell. And we always say how fragrance, you know,
it's very priestly,
gets through
isn't it?
You right away. And I just remember that beautiful smell in the bathroom when she was getting ready. And I believe she changed, but she wore Beautiful by Estee Lauder a lot. And that's a big memory. But my biggest beauty inspiration is my grandmother, her mother, who was Viennese.
Mm.
And so I would spend my summers in Vienna because my parents traveled a lot as well.
So where were you living at the time?
So I was living in Brussels. Okay. I grew up in Belgium. Mm-hmm. And then in the summers, I would go to my granny in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother would go to my other grandparents in Munich, my dad's.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was with my granny. It was just for the summer and because it's easier for grandparents to handle one at a time. And I remember, like, oh, that was... To this day, the happiest times of my life is with my granny. She passed sadly, but she was such a role model because at the time, again, remember the time we're talking about, a woman who got divorced quite young, had her own business.
Was that quite scandalous? It must have been
quite scandalous. Yeah. Absolutely. Wasn't a done thing.
No.
Had her own business.
Yeah.
She was completely self-sufficient, did what she wanted to do. And in the 50s, 60s, that was kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
So for me, she was an incredibly strong role model.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, like I said, she had her own business. She had seamstresses working for her. It was quite a big boutique. And just someone who didn't need other people and did what she wanted. And, you know, she did the fun things I liked. You know, she in Vienna, we'd used to go and have like cake, like Sachertorte. It was like whipped cream and she loved shopping. So we had cakes, we went shopping. It was just so much fun. But at the same time, she was a very hard worker.
Right.
Very, you know, obviously, because she ran her own business, had no one else, and just showed me what a strong woman is like. So I've always been growing up surrounded by quite strong women. My aunt as well was that kind of very independent and worked, and I just had a lot of role models around me of women with a lot of you know, powerful women.
And your grandma then being a tough woman who knows her own mind, what did she choose to look like?
Oh my god, she looked like, growing up, she looked like Marilyn Monroe.
She
was so glam. By the time, obviously, I was with her, you know, she was a bit older, but she had this beautiful dressing table. She always wore Chanel No. 5.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Chanel No. 5 there. There was Elizabeth Arden, Estee Lauder, Lancome, but all these beautiful pots, you know. So she had this beautiful dressing. She had Elnett always there.
Yes.
Her nails were long, almond-shaped, and always a Schiaparelli pink.
Yes.
Always. And her hair, she had the most beautiful... So imagine Marilyn older, so that kind of strong, and it was white. It was just this silver color, like it was the most beautiful color.
Yeah.
And she always wore a few. She always matched her lipstick to her nail polish.
Yeah.
And she smelled of Number 5 and Elnett, and it was just fascinating. And she is the first person who gave me my first skincare.
What did she give you?
She gave me Clinique 3-Step.
Okay.
And it was literally about... I mainly used the soap and the moisturizer, to be honest.
Right.
And she was just like, have a skincare routine.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've had a
You've
skincare
routine.
You've
looked after your skin.
Yeah. In my family, definitely... You know, it is a mother-daughter, grandmother, granddaughter way of educating about skincare and showing, and also seeing women who always looked after their skin.
Yeah,
kind of made me naturally, without having to think about it, realize, well, that's just what you do. Equally, though, I also decided, you know, what made me want to be a beauty editor was that I, in my granny's salon, Mode Salon, we used to call it in German. She had all the Italian and French Vogues. Wow. So I would look through those. So I did look at the time it was supermodels.
Yeah.
But I couldn't identify with the bodies.
Yeah.
Because I've always been quite curvy, mm-hmm. always. I've never been like massively, but like I've always been a bit more a curvy yeah. girl rather than a skinny girl.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't identify with the physicality and the bodies.
Yeah.
But I looked at the faces and I was like, I can do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And genuinely, I just always felt that beauty was more democratic and more achievable than fashion. It just was. I mean, the price is another issue.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, yeah,
I couldn't afford an Alaïa dress yeah. at God knows how much money. But
yeah.
it's interesting how I was looking at the fashion magazines and my eye went to the faces. And I remember yeah. in my room as mm. a teenager, on my wall,
mm.
I didn't have posters of pop stars. I ripped out Estee Lauder ads,
yeah.
the black and white ads. And I believe it was Polina Poroskova. And then I think it was Liz Hurley.
She's
and Carolyn Murphy and all that. But
yeah.
I ripped out those ads and that's what was on my wall.
Mm.
Faces as
yeah.
opposed to pop stars.
What were you into at
math.
School?
Okay. So I was really good at math and I was really crap at geography actually
mm-hmm.
and I still am. But history, biology, history I loved.
Mm.
Biology, I don't know why I was good at that. And math were my strong points.
What did you imagine you'd do when you grew up?
So I bought all the mags. So
yeah.
I was definitely, that was my obsession with magazines. And that I remember from a very young age, I got samples always.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to play with samples. I used to pretend I had like a beauty, you know, one of those
yeah.
like beauty stores. Like.
Yeah.
And I kind of toyed with being a makeup artist, but then I realized that I really wasn't talented enough. And I thought the closest I can get is working in a magazine and
mm-hmm.
then I can interview all these people. So it was kind of that.
Tell me what you looked like. Let's say when you were like 15, 16, what makeup were you wearing?
Yeah.
Did you have skin battles?
Yeah.
Hair color,
yeah.
that sort of thing.
So I went from a very confident and vivacious young child
mm.
to a very shy teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. So, I mean, we're not a psychology 101 here, but there must be a reason. But I got quite shy, which people always find weird now because I come across as incredibly confident.
Mm.
But I'm still in my private life shy.
Okay.
It's very interesting that. But I think I was... But the thing is, I was in a great school. Like, we all were friends. Like, there was nothing... There was no bullying, no nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was all very happy.
Hmm.
But in terms of what I looked like, I was always in jeans. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
I wore jeans and a shirt. I
yeah.
still do.
Yeah.
Jeans and a checked shirt, actually.
Yeah.
I still do, and trainers. It's just my thing. I think at the time we were into, like... What are they called? Not Doc Martens, but, you know,
right.
we were into, like, boots and, like, Timberland boots
mm-hmm,
and jeans
mm-hmm.
and oversized shirts, whatever. I was that girl that when you're a teenager, you know, your first foray into beauty is kind of like a lip gloss and a nail polish. I was always about skincare.
Okay.
So all my girlfriends were, like, we didn't really wear makeup to school or
mm-hmm.
to university, but all my girlfriends were more into, like, a little bit of, like, gloss, and I was always about skin and hair.
What were you...
And hair,
okay.
massively, because I had really long hair.
Okay.
I loved hair care and skin care.
Is your hair naturally straight?
No, my hair is naturally, like, that wavy hair that on a good day looks great,
yeah, yeah.
and on a bad day looks like a big frizzy mess.
Yeah.
And I remember frizzies came out, and
mm.
I was like, yes. I used to like douse my hair in that.
Were you still in Brussels at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to put too much on. But
yeah.
anyway. But like I have that kind of... Still now I have that frizzy hair that, like I said, on a good day I'm
mm.
thrilled. And on a bad day I'm just like, this is going under a cap.
That kind of hair takes quite well though to being styled.
Oh yeah.
Like,
my
yeah.
hair is
yeah.
very... It obeys.
Yes, exactly.
So,
it's very
you know,
stylable.
Once you put it on, put it into style, it tends to obey. And of course dry shampoo is
yeah.
my best friend. I didn't color my hair, I think, until I was a beauty editor.
So you sound quite natural then. Like, everything you're doing is just a bit of skincare.
But I was very sporty.
Okay.
I was really into sports, so...
What sports were you
I used
into?
To, oh, my God, everything. Like,
okay.
I used to play football. I was crap.
Okay.
But I had a lot of enthusiasm.
Okay.
I was made up for sport, for talent with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You always need those people on the team.
Yeah.
That have a lot of enthusiasm, but that aren't very good. So I used to play football. I think it's because I'm tall.
Mm.
And so I used to swim a lot. As a youngster, I used to swim quite
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Then I used to play football. I was rubbish. Handball, I was decent, which is quite a German sport, handball.
Yeah.
Volleyball, I was all right. Basketball, I was quite good.
Okay.
And then tennis. You know, tennis was my big passion.
And were you quite confident in your body then as a teenager?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. I was super, because I was always a big bit bigger.
By bigger, do you mean bigger boned or like stuff on the bones?
No. Podgy.
Okay.
But I mean, the word curvy, like, it's not even that. I was overweight.
Okay.
You know, but not massively. Just always like a bit more than I'd, like, enough that I'd want to wear extra oversized clothes.
Yeah.
And I was never, like, you know, I was never, like, when I was a teenager, I always had good skin. Mm-hmm. And so it was the skin and the hair and the face. But the body, I always felt like I wanted to be less, even though I did a lot of sports, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, now when I look back at pictures, I'm like, okay, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I just always felt, compared to my friends who were really thin, you know? Yeah. But funnily enough, it didn't stop me from things. This is the funny thing. Like, it's not like anybody would shame me about it or anything.
Yeah.
It was more myself.
Yeah, so that was in your head.
Yeah, and then when I was, I remember a bit later on when I was my early 20s, I used to do a lot of theater because that was my way to get over my shyness. And that's what helped me look people in the eye.
Did, like, you do that consciously?
Yeah. couldn't look people in. My dad just thought, let her do something like where she needs to get out of. Like, I would blush when people would look at me.
Okay.
Now I'm very good at eye contact, but I never used to be.
Yeah.
So I did theater and to get out of, to help me. And that really helped me get out of my shell.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was doing a play and I had to, kind of disrobe a little bit, like, on stage, and I was so freaked
out.
Well,
what did you have to wear?
Like a negligee, but I mean, you didn't see anything.
Fine,
like I was covered, but still, you know, I wasn't like in an underwear. It was like
I wouldn't want to wear a negligee on stage.
And I was so freaked about it that I went on this insane diet, which is the kind of thing you do when you are in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And I think I ate like an apple and like a yogurt. And now when I think about it, I'm like, how did I function?
Yeah.
Like, how does your brain function? But I think when you're that young, I mean, you must have hormones or stuff. I don't know. But I don't know how. Nowadays, if I did that after 2 days, I'd be on the floor.
Yeah.
But I remember I did that and I lost huge amounts of weight.
Okay, quickly.
And, And again, when you're that young, it's easy and, and you feel like... And I lost so much weight and I got really, really thin.
Yeah.
And then I remember I won the award. We had like a miss of school. So I was like voted the prettiest in school.
Yeah.
And all of that. So I thought that was great until my gut shut down, my intestines shut down. So I basically... collapsed in the house. I never spoke about this, but I collapsed in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mom, thank God, was there. I was rushed to hospital. My intestines just were so blocked that, you know, there was a block. There was a big blockage. That's where I'm going to leave it.
That must have been awful.
Yeah, it was very painful. And I was in hospital for 10 days.
Had you learned your lesson? Did you go back to eating normally? Or were you?
No. I hadn't learned my lesson.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I should have had support.
Yeah.
Meant like I should have spoken to a therapist.
Mm.
But what we know now is that when you have an eating disorder, let's say.
Yeah. Or disorderly
we
eating.
Know now. Disorderly eating.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about I had a bit. But
No.
If you have a disordered eating.
Yeah.
We know now that what you need is a therapist, not a nutritionist necessarily.
Yes.
I mean, both is great.
Yeah.
But you need a therapist.
Yeah.
I think my parents were just thrilled that I was alive,
that
they didn't think about. And at the hospital, people, you know, it just wasn't, nobody thought of it. It's like mental health. Nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
Now we talk about it.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. Yeah. And so I remember I just got home and I was so obviously depressed that I just sat on the sofa and just ate.
Yeah.
And so then the opposite happened. I got really big.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really big.
Mm.
And I mean, we don't have enough time to talk about that, but
eventually
then that obviously regulated itself. But there's always been this relationship with food for me that's kind of always been like yeah, I think since then I've always had a bit of a...
It sets you up, doesn't it, to have a bit
Yeah, before that I was always like a bit more than I wanted to be, but then when I look at pictures now I'm like, seriously? And but then that episode of losing so much weight and then gaining so much back, I'm now kind of in the middle. And I have to say, like, in terms of my body now, look, sometimes I'm like, I've overdo it, but I got to a point where I'm a lot more accept myself more. And I think as you get older, you do look at other values about you. You do look at other things. And, you know, I wouldn't say my weight defines me. It's still something that I think about a lot. But I kind of got to a point where I don't go to extremes anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't binge anymore in that way. And yes, I'll be like a few pounds over and I'll be like, and I know why.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'll just rein it in a bit and I'll be fine. So I know now more to regulate my emotions around it.
Yeah.
But food and weight, it's always played a big role in my life.
And what do you find works for you in terms of a kind of eating exercise regime that's manageable and sustainable? What works?
So the one thing that works like so well, I never in extremes, I've learned that. I don't ever do something extreme. I used to, and it just backfires. It just doesn't work. What unfortunately works, and that's what works for everything in life, your skincare, your body.
Yeah.
For me, no snacking. So for me, eating 3 times a day works. This whole thing of like skipping a meal, for me, that just sets me up for failure. Okay. I can't do this intermittent fasting thing. Like, again, it's so individual.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, but it's more individual mentally, I think, than physically. But that's another issue. But for me, it's like breakfast, lunch, dinner, no snack. I definitely think like I drink way too much coffee and not enough water. But you need, you know, drinking lots of water helps. Exercise wise, again, I think the best thing, and this is what something a doctor once said to me, said, listen, you know, if you run like a maniac, you can't sustain that. It's better to walk. So I walk about an hour to an hour and a half.
What do you do when you
most
walk?
Most days. So this is also it's my walking therapy. I see this as like my I don't know how to meditate very well. Like when I'm in a forced state of meditation, I literally already rebel. Like I've got that main brain where I'm like,
yeah.
For me, like, okay, this is, again, I don't want to pretend I do this every day.
Yeah.
But when I can, when I'm at home, when I don't have a crazy schedule, the dream scenario, which I do in mostly in the summer, I get up at 5:30. In the summer, I can't do it in winter.
Okay.
Get up at 5:30.
Even in the summer, that's no. Very early.
But this is heaven. This is heaven.
Okay.
Because it's quiet.
Yeah. Where do you live in London?
Notting Hill.
Okay.
No phones. No emails, like nothing, right?
Yeah.
You get up, no nasty surprises. You go, I have my water because I always drink a lot of water first thing because I get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Have my cup of coffee, sit on my terrace if it's a nice day and just, I'll read.
You don't look at your phone?
No. Okay. I'll just look quickly if there's a drama. Like okay, my fine, parents fine. Or my family or my brother.
Fine. But
just,
you're not like...
No, I'm not scrolling.
Yeah.
I go, because I mean, there's nothing to scroll. I've done that the night before.
So yeah. Okay.
I try to read something. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big, because my life is so much on my phone.
Yeah.
My routine is reading. And I will read a cross section. Anybody who says to me, I just read this amazing book, I'm like interested. It can be biographies, it can be self-improvement, but whatever. I just would read something.
Yeah.
Have my coffee. Then I go for a walk. I go to Hyde Park. I go through Portobello, go up to Hyde Park. And I just walk. I don't have my phone on me.
Okay.
I just walk in silence. And I try to do that for an hour and a half. I try.
Okay.
Come back and then I do shower and the whole thing, breakfast and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That, for me, I've done something for my... Physically for me, I've done something for my well-being. It's like... It's my version of meditating and having my own time. When I can do that, my day is beautiful. Yeah. Obviously, and I'm not going to pretend I do it every day because I can't always do it, you know, but prioritizing that kind of stuff, it makes a huge difference. But look, in the middle of winter, do I want to get up at 5? Hell no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's got to do a lot with daylight for me. I'm very, I need that daylight. You know, the depth of, I remember in December this year, I mean, when it got dark at 3, I was like, are you joking? Like, I would literally be like,
yeah.
So I'm very light dependent. So I need that light. And I need that downtime. I'm not someone who can... There are some people who I admire. My brother is like that. They can just keep going.
Yeah.
Nonstop. Yeah. They don't need a break.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not like that. I need my time for myself. Mm-hmm. I need my time to recharge. Also because when I do talk to people, I'm very present.
Mm-hmm.
I'm incredibly present. Whether that's with you right now or whether I'm with Primark in doing events with the customers, whether I'm talking, like I'm super present, super focused, and I give a lot. So when I have downtime, I need to just be whoosh,
yeah,
completely down.
Do you need downtime during the day? If you're working from home and you've got up, you've done your walk, you've had your breakfast, you've had your shower, let's say you do a few hours of work and have lunch.
Yeah.
Are you someone who'll then sit down and watch Netflix?
No. Okay. Not. No. That's I'm not good at. Like, once my day is going, I'm going.
Okay.
So that's why I do it first thing.
Okay.
Because then that's the only time. Because honestly, once the emails start, I'm one of those very crazy people who will check her emails nonstop.
Yeah.
I'm not good at setting boundaries with that.
Okay.
So I'm constantly on the email or on the Instagram.
What does your evening routine look like? I mean, again, on an average day.
I love going to bed early because I like getting up early. So when there is like an event and stuff, obviously that's different. But when I'm at home, I will eat. I like to eat as early as possible, but this is something I've learned from Viva Maya. So I do believe in eating early.
Yeah.
I like that. And then I try to not be on the phone too much, but sometimes after hours is a good time to get back to people.
Yeah.
But I'm also really good at, like, my phone is not on at night. My phone doesn't get charged in my room. Like, my phone is outside.
Okay.
So once I'm in bed, I'm, you know...
You're fine.
I'm sleeping.
What time do you call early bedtime?
I ideally 10.
Okay.
But that doesn't always happen.
Mm. Well, 10's kind of a swing time. Some people go to bed, like, at 9.
Yeah, but if you get... Yeah, but if you get up at... Look, I need about 7.5 hours. I've calculated. So I know I can figure out... Too much for me doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think 7.5 is good. So 10... 5:30, that kind of works.
You're a bath person?
No, never. Okay. I never, ever take a... Like, I mean...
Yeah.
I honestly, last year, I maybe took 2 baths. No, I'm a shower person. I get hot.
Okay.
I don't like heat.
Okay.
I get too hot. I get sweaty. I get bored. I put water everywhere.
Okay.
I'm fidgety. My hair goes frizzy.
Yeah.
I'm 100% a shower person, but I can be in that shower for a long time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's go back. So you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You're in this sort of slightly yo-yo
diet
place. And then at what point do you move to the UK? Or what's your next step
in
life?
So, I mean, So I finished my studies and then I'm like, okay, you know what? I studied economics and then...
In Brussels.
In Brussels, with a stint in the States. And then
a year in the States?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, I want to work in magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, again, I wrote to every magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of rejections, a huge amount of rejections, and a handful of interviews. And then I ended up at Marie Claire as an intern. And, my God, I mean, I was... it was like a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
The reality, of course, is not like what you imagine, but you know, I've always been, one thing I have is a lot of discipline,
mm-hmm.
and I've always believed in hard work. So I knew I had to work my way up, you know, I never expected anything. But, you know, being, I mean, I ended up, it's a long story, but I ended up, I was meant to be in the beauty department, but I got to Marie Claire and they were like, oh, there's someone, you know, we've got someone, whatever, or someone stayed on. And then they said, and I was like, well, I came all the way here. Like, I'm not from London. Like, I had to, you know, I had to rent a room in someone's house. And like, and they were like, well, we can put you on reception.
Huh.
Now, nothing wrong with being a reception, but that's a job. That's a job. Yeah. Someone needs to be paid to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what an intern does.
No.
So I was kind of like, okay, but I said, you know what? It was take it or leave it. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to take it. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take
it. Might as well do something. Yeah.
And so it was not where I wanted to be. But that was, again, another lesson in life for mm-hmm. me. And the lesson, of course, it's easy for me to sit here now and say it. But the lesson for me was that it's not necessarily the straight line to where you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dream was... my dream was I'm going to be an intern in the beauty department at Marie Claire. They're going to love me. They're going to keep me, and I'm going to work my way up, you know, and become a beauty director.
And is that what you always wanted?
That's what I wanted to do. My dream, I wanted to be beauty director of the biggest magazine in the UK.
Okay.
And at the time, that was Marie Claire.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I want to do. And I kind of, that was my, also when you're young, you know, you are idealistic, which is fantastic, by the way. Well, you need to be idealistic, because if you're going to be idealistic, you might as well, you know. I've never lost that, but I always believe in the possibility. But I also always believed in you make your possibility. You know, yes, there is a certain thing as a destiny, but you kind of make your own destiny. And so being on reception, like, the lesson I learned was, you know, yes, I started on a reception at Marie Claire, but I still ended up being the beauty director of the biggest magazine in the UK, which was Glamour when I got there. So... the trajectory wasn't the straight line.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I had imagined. But sometimes you need to take a detour mm-hmm. to get to you want to get to. And what it taught me being on reception is, A, it taught me a certain humility.
Mm-hmm.
And it taught me, not to be arrogant. It also taught me, because I was treated pretty appallingly by quite a lot of people
mm-hmm.
along the way. As a lot of times when you are an intern, like nowadays things are different, you mm-hmm. know. Interns get paid a certain amount and there's a certain code of conduct, and with HR nowadays you can't do that anymore.
No.
But I did learn, what I will say, I am grateful for it, because I learned a certain resilience
mm-hmm.
which you need. And you can't take offense if someone asks you to do photocopies.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take offense if someone snipes at you. I mean, give me a break. You know what I mean? Like, it's taught me a certain resilience and a certain, the discipline I had, but I think the resilience, the toughness, but at the same time, to be kind to people. I don't think, you know, when I then ended up growing in the ranks and going up my way in magazines can be a quite tough environment. You know, they're predominantly a female environment. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be difficult. But I think if you, and I understand how people react in certain ways and how people can maybe, you know, be tricky. But it taught me not to ever treat anybody that works with me in a bad way. So I, for example, all the way till, you know, when I was at Glamour as the beauty director and until I left, I would open my own post. Mm-hmm. Never expected anyone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get my own lunch unless someone offered. You know what I mean? Like, I never treated anyone in my department as my PA.
Right.
You know, even the assistant.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't my PA. Like, you know, I would do my own thing.
But when you started, and it was a very different environment in magazines back then, and it was... I think there was this sort of Devil Wears Prada vibe that people talk about a bit more.
100%. But I think it still is sometimes.
It still is sometimes, But did you, when you talk about resilience and growing that, I'm wondering about the person who goes and is in and has moved to a different country, and you're doing a job that you weren't expecting to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're shy, naturally shy.
Yeah.
There's a shy side. And I mean, that must have been quite trying at times. Did you have times that you'd go home and cry? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a shyness, but I was shy, but by then I'd done the theater. I've gotten better.
Right.
Shy, but also tough in the sense that don't know, like, I still have this thing that I believe if you work hard mm-hmm. and you do the right thing, you will get there. Like, I never believed in shortcuts. You know, I've never done a shortcut. That's why today sometimes I'm like, why do you want to like shortcut it? Like, don't you want to, the only way to be an expert is through experience.
Yeah.
I think experience helps you so much in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I see now everyone is in such a hurry, not everyone, but a lot of people are in a hurry to have the title or to have the whatever. But then you get to that position and you're not equipped. You don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of in as you grow, a lot of people who, when you see people, even now, like I look at journalists who have a lot of experience, it just, you know how to handle things. You know how to deal with things differently. So when I was in that situation where I wasn't where I wanted to be, naturally shy, quite unfair. Like, you know, it was quite it wasn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
But then what is fair? You know, you either give up and go and say, you know, fuck you all, I'm out of here. But then what? Then what?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. Or you sit there and you go, okay, I'm going to make this work for me. Now, of course, I couldn't foresee where it would lead me, but I was never like resentful. I never played up. I was never like, wah, wah, wah. I was just like, I'm going to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've always kept, even now, like I always think, okay, how can I make this work? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to make this work? I never look at other people to make it work.
But then
do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but then when you do that, you're relying on your own abilities and your own strength quite a lot. So I then understand that sometimes you must feel quite depleted because you're really, you know...
Yeah. I do, I give a lot. But I think when you think about how do I make it work, you then know how to bring the right people to you. Because the thing is this, I don't believe that most people naturally, even in a very difficult environment, want to be antagonistic. I think most people want things to go well and smooth and peaceful. It's just that ego gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you understand that, and once you understand that we all have an ego, I have an ego, you have an ego, a lot of people have an ego, it's about knowing how to manage people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always a skill I've had, and I have, is I can read people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can read how to talk to people. You don't ever want to embarrass someone. Even if you're right, it doesn't matter. It's about making sure people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because we all make mistakes. Hey, I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes.
But did you learn this all from your own experience, or was there someone who you looked up to who gave you good advice?
You know what? It's a really good question. I don't know. I think I just learned along the way, and maybe because of my shyness and my quietness as a teenager, I'm quite observant.
Okay.
So now I talk a lot and I'm confident, but even now in my private, I can switch. I don't do it automatically, but I mean, as in, I don't do it on purpose.
Right.
But often I'll sit and I'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, obviously we're talking, but I'll be in situations where often I will just sit back.
Mm-hmm.
You learn so much more by listening, you know, than by talking. But also, like, of course, I'm doing my own skincare range and stuff, so, you know, I need to also be assertive.
And I
can come across as very assertive if I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can also sit back and listen. And I think one of my biggest strengths is always wanting to learn.
Right.
And never thinking I know everything. And that's how you grow. Mm. You stop growing the moment you think, well, I've got this, I know this. Like, you know, it's like when someone says to me, oh, well, your skincare line, you know, it launched it so well, you know, like, surely, you know, you're expecting it to keep doing well. I'm like, no, I mean, I hope it does.
Yeah.
But never, ever do I think, oh, yeah,
I'm done.
I've got this.
Yeah.
I'm amazing. Also, because that's also what drives me, you know, the fire in the belly, the kind of like keep going, you know, keep achieving, keep doing something that. But also I have the flip side of my personality is that I have to really love something to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard for me to pretend. So I'm so fortunate that I was able to do a job. I loved being a journalist. I 100% until my last day at Glamour loved it. But I left just as I loved it.
How long were you at Glamour for?
11 years.
Okay, and in the 11 years that you were there, did you have...
Did I love every single day?
No. I was just going to ask about the... In that time, you would have tried a shed load of products.
Yeah.
Let's say, are there maybe five or a few things that you grew to know and love in that time that you still use now and you think that's 100%. Just amazing?
Yeah.
What are they?
Advanced Night Repair.
Yes.
By Estee Lauder.
Yeah.
I know. Every time I say it, people go, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with it. I've used it even before Glamour, I think. But it's one of those things. It just works for me.
Yeah.
It's a hydrator. I just love it. So Advanced Night Repair, I'm completely...
Do you like their eye serum as much?
Yes, I do love that too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have...
The one in the pot? In the pot.
But if you said to me, choose, it's the serum.
Yeah.
So that I still use religiously.
Yeah.
Probably every day.
Mm-hmm.
I love La Mer. But I have... Very dry skin.
Right.
Doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
But the La Mer moisturizer, I absolutely love. I love... What else do I... What else do I swear? So it's the stuff that I keep... I'm just trying to think what I keep buying.
Yeah.
There's a product called... Oh, do you know what? Yves Saint Laurent... The Teint Touche Éclat, I love, but I like the new concealer. So that wasn't in the last 11. But I mean,
yeah.
It's a recent one, but I'm quite obsessed with that.
Do you like that light reflecting? But you're into that
But
glow.
I like I mean, for me, I'm definitely like, I'm not a big coverage person. Like, it's always kind of...
Because you've got good skin, you just want to kind of
decent,
give it...
Decent, yeah. But, I mean, yes, I look after it.
Yeah.
Liposil.
Yes.
Sorry, which is from a brand called Talica, which is a brow gel enhancer, which my mom has used all her life. And she hasn't got a single white hair in her brow. So
really?
I'm using that.
Well, does it give them color as well?
Yeah, apparently. I didn't know that myself.
Yeah.
No, but it helps it somehow. And I don't know how, because I looked into it, but it prevents pigmentation loss in those brows. I'm like, why don't they do this for roots?
Okay.
Oh, speaking of which, Kalawau Root Retouch.
Yes.
I mean, Desert Island product.
Yeah.
Oh my God, because my roots, like, I have dark hair.
Yeah.
I've been gray since my mid-20s. It's just,
fully.
You know, no, not fully.
But you've
you
had gray.
I've had gray, so, and I have dark hair, so,
same hair. Yeah.
Like, roots are a no-go. So that's one.
Who colors your hair?
Amy at Larry King.
Okay.
And then the last product would be Yves Saint Laurent False Lash Effect Mascara.
Yeah.
I'm just completely in love with
but
that.
But your look, you've got a look that you like doing mostly. I mean, I've seen you do other things, but you
with my dressing.
Yeah.
I'm very signature. I'm very like classic. Like in my fashion, it's like jeans, t-shirt, shirt, blazer. Mm-hmm. It's what I wear. And in my look, definitely I'm all about the glow, bronze. I love a bronze.
Yeah.
I'm not naturally tan, so I was like a bit of a self tanner.
What do you fake tan?
I use Vita Liberata and Tan Luxe.
Yes.
So I use Vita Liberata, phenomenal mousse on my body, and then I love the Tan Luxe oil because I'm dry.
Yeah.
And a lot of fake tans dry you out, so that Tan Luxe is amazing. I love a good bronzer. You know,
I love my
Charlotte Tilbury bronzer. I think it's phenomenal.
The bronze,
you know, the one with the bronze
with and
glow.
The
it's called I use the bronzer, not the highlighter. I'm all about that. I'm all about a brown eyeliner. I never use black.
Which brown eyeliner do you
use? Oh, I do alternate. So I've got Teddy by MAC.
Yeah.
I've got NARS Mambo.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Elizabeth Arden, the brown one. Oh, and I love, everyone should buy the Armani No. 2 brown eye pencil. It is
used that one.
It's the right, it's not too light, not too dark. It's like a browny black. It's just gorgeous. That's what I always do. I swear by Hoola, by Benefit as an eyeshadow as well, and a contour. I mean, I'm just like, I mean, I'm very, that's what it is. It's like a bronzy, dewy, blushy, pinky lip, but not much. You know what I mean?
I
did that lipstick with MAC, the Alessandra lipstick, which is that kind of pinky lip color.
Yeah.
And then I do, when I have to spruce it up, it'll be like a smoky brown gold eye.
Yeah.
Or I'll just do whack on a red lip. The problem with a red lip with me, love the look of it, disappears in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because
it's
I eat, I drink.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell me then, when you chose to leave Glamour.
Yes.
About this big
moment.
A year ago, where you went from Glamour to moving into, I would say influencer, but that sphere.
Yeah.
What was the response you had from people, and what...
Which people?
All people. I mean, it's a bold move, so tell me about that.
Well, it's one of those things. I've loved my entire time, and I didn't leave because I didn't love it anymore, but I'm not scared of change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of it, and I am quite good at listening to my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured it's time.
Okay.
You know, and I think I was so happy. Honestly, my 11 years at Glamour were such wonderful times. I just look at back at it with so much fondness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes, you know, you got to move. You got to move forward. And it was just my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't prompted to go. I decided to go. I think it did coincide with the magazine going online.
Yeah.
And I think there's a print edition twice a year. And, you know, I'd done the beauty festival, founded that, which was a great success. I'd done so many things, the beauty power list, and that I was so proud of. My editor, Jo Elvin, left,
mm-hmm.
who was a big part for me because she was a phenomenal editor that I loved working for and a very visionary editor, I felt. So I just figured, you know what, it's time to go. Also, obviously, my Instagram was kind of, you know, doing well.
Yeah.
And there was the option of me working with brands and, you know, as a spokesperson. And you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
While you are, in a way, like while you're an editor in a magazine.
Yeah, it can be a conflict.
I think it could be conflictual.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and also, obviously, I knew I was doing my range with Primark. It wasn't going to come out till October, but I knew it was on the card. So I knew I was going to have to leave.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I just thought, well, let's go. And so I did. And, you know, the interesting thing is I have zero regrets. And this is the thing. It's like, I absolutely adored my time. I genuinely have nothing bad to say. But the moment I left, I was gone.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Gone.
Sometimes it's just the right thing to do that it's
time.
Yeah,
but that's why it felt like the right move.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, wasn't, I mean, on the, I was emotional on the day. I was like, oh my God, this is the last time I'm walking to the Condé Nast building. Well, the last time for now.
Yeah.
You never know in life. Because my door is definitely not shut when it comes to magazines. I still love magazines more than anything. I just love them, you know, and I still buy them and read them. But it was just the right thing to do for me. And I can tell you now, it's a year on.
Yeah.
It's been phenomenal. The response has been interesting.
Yeah.
I think some people were like, okay, like, fine. Like, not finally, but like, okay, here she goes. You know. But remember, I knew what I had on the cards. A lot of people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction from some industry people, but then, I mean, it doesn't matter, but I
does
know.
Does it not matter, though?
No, industry, as in my peers.
No, but I mean, does it affect you when people say either good or bad things?
The thing is, if you believe the good, you have to believe the bad. So I never believed the hype.
Right.
And I try not. Because I think, also, remember, if someone criticizes you personally, it says a lot more about them than it says about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? You know, it's about their own feelings. So a few things I heard was, what's she going to do now without having the magazine to support her?
Yeah.
And that to me speaks about their own fear.
Yeah.
Rather than mine, because I didn't have that fear.
Yeah.
I feel like, again, Glamour and Condé Nast has been phenomenal for me, but I believe that I've done a lot for them as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of like, so I think some people are like, what's she going to do without a magazine brand behind her? And I thought, but I don't have that fear.
But also, not everyone who works at a magazine and a massive brand has a massive following. You know, you'd...
Well, but I don't think I have a massive following.
Well,
you know,
I mean, sizable.
Well, I'm just very grateful for, you know, I don't you know what? Also, my aim is not to have a million followers. Because I want to be able to answer to people. I feel like I have a more of a community than... I don't. Yeah. First of all, I don't call them followers because, I mean, I'm not the Messiah. You know, like, no, but that's a really...
No, I know,
like,
I know.
No, but I get... But, you know, for me, it's more... I have a community. I have people who are interested. Like, what I do on my Instagram, I don't really share much about my private life,
right.
You know? It's more about... For me, it's purely being a beauty expert. Mm-hmm. It's talking about skincare. And so, for me, it's a community of people who are really interested in skincare and beauty and other things as well. I mean, I do talk about things like confidence and things like that. Like I said, you know, I still have to overcome a lot of times. I do feel also inadequate. You know, I do. I mean, who doesn't? But I think I'm quite open about it and I'm quite emotional about
it. You're almost curating a magazine on your Instagram.
I feel it's like it's my media outlet.
Yeah.
And so... You know, the response, it's been, like I said, I had a lot more positive support and I'm very grateful for all the positive support. But then there's always going to be a few people. But like I said, it says more about them than it says about me. And, you know, look, I've supported a lot throughout my career as when I was the beauty director of Glamour. I've supported a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've supported a lot of people in the industry, whether it's fellow journalists, people who worked with me, or people in the industry, makeup artists, brands, hairdressers, facialists. I supported a lot of people and I helped them along the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, when people don't reciprocate, that's a bit, it can be, like, I'm not going to lie, it can be a bit like, but then I'm quite forgiving because, first of all, I don't believe in holding grudges. Mm-hmm. And the grudge would just hold me back.
Yeah.
I'd rather just move forward and let them stand behind me.
Let's talk about skincare then.
Yes!
And the range.
Yes!
So when you started it, was it always your aim to have a sort of big capsule collection of skincare for people that made it easy and that people could navigate very easily?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, when we started this idea of making really good quality, high-tech skincare affordable, I wasn't just going to do like a product, you know, because I wanted, you know, I'm all about the routine. I'm all about people getting into a skincare regimen and so on. So when I asked Primark what, you know, it was a blank sheet. I said, what can I, and the only thing they said to me is you can have 20.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, we need to think about size in store as well, right? Like, it's not like an endless situation. I said, 20? Okay, that's cool. I can start with that.
Yeah.
So we did 20, five ranges. And I just started with, so these are really like, you know, the core. Like, it's how to, it's kind of starting, it's basically how to build a skincare routine from scratch. So we've got a bunch of cleansers, we've got moisturizers, different moisturizers, masks, and so on. And then now, like, we're launching, like the peel pads, which just launched, it's just getting into something that's a bit more advanced, you know? But you have to start with the basics. You know, you need, if when people say to me, well, what do you really need? I'm like, well, really, you need a cleanser, you need some sort of hydration, and then you need a sunscreen. I mean, that's what you really need. And then, of course, if you want a bit more, you add in a serum, you add in an eye product, you add in peel pads, you add in masks. But, you know, obviously, let's be realistic. Some people love using 10 products and, and some people just want two, you know. And so this was designed for to please, because again, it was designed for the Primark customer. You know, I didn't make this for the industry. I didn't make this to impress people. Like, I made this to be for real useful, real people, real use, not that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
for real usage. So it had to be something that was very easy to understand. Accessible, not just from a price point, but accessible from a point of view of, you need to, again, you know, look, when you, if you've been into a Primark, you know, I'm not standing at the counter advising you. You know, you're not, you don't get a service of someone for half an hour telling you what does your skin need. So it had to be something that empowered the customer, that they could choose without being completely bamboozled, which I'm sure we all are nowadays. I mean, you know, I'm bamboozled sometimes, you know. I mean, I'm like, whoa.
You
know,
it's a lot.
So, you know, and I think 20 products, you know, you do need to address different skin needs, but also preferences, you know. So the reason we have a bunch of moisturizers, because one is oil-free. And I think that's something that in this arena, but actually also in the more high-end arena, there aren't that many oil-free moisturizers. When you think about it, I can think about three. So it was good. I wanted to do that for oily skins, because a lot of oily skins, people with oily skin when they were younger, or even, you know, probably used a lot of harsh products on their skin. So they then have an oily skin, but that's dehydrated. So you've got this kind of skin that doesn't quite know what it wants to be. So I did oil-free moisturizer. I did a serum in cream one, which is kind of one that's kind of a lighter medium texture. Then I did an everyday moisturizer, which is quite a rich texture, but not greasy at all, which I think is one of the best formulas I've done. And then we've got the sleep mask, which is your overnight, I mean, which I did basically for myself, which is very, very soothing. But none of it is like sticky or, you know, the facial in a stick, which is mainly, that's for very dry skin. So that's more of a rich, oily texture. But that also works as a cleanser at the same time as well. So, you know, we did quite a lot of moisturizers, but in order to give people options, and then different types of cleansers, again, for people who wear makeup, for people who have more oilier skin, and masks, a lot of masks. Because I think masks are not essential, but they are that time you give yourself a break.
You do your Sunday facials, yeah, don't you? And mm. I think the thing is, though, it's a ritual as well, isn't it? Oh, of yeah. having a time that you look yeah. after yourself.
But also, I mean, don't you think now, when you think about it, how often do you take time for yourself? Like I was saying to you, my yeah. early morning ritual is my time, and yeah. my Sunday facial is my
That's
time.
A luxury.
Which, by the way, the Sunday facial I did since my teens.
Did you?
I've always done it.
Okay.
Obviously, as a teenager, I used to use like three products. Like
yeah.
probably a scrub
yeah.
and like a moisture. But, you know, it obviously got more advanced as I got to know more about skincare. But I've always had that thing of my pamper time.
Yeah.
My me time.
Yeah.
And again, now we talk a lot about taking time for yourself. But remember, I've been doing the Sunday facial for a long time on my socials. And it's that idea of like literally shutting the world out mm-hmm. and focusing on yourself. Mm-hmm. Because when you actually come to think about it, and I'm going to talk specifically about women here, because it's what I know, because I'm a woman myself. But when you think about when is the only time in the day, and I'm not talking about looking at yourself when you take a selfie, that you're actually looking at yourself actively and present, that you're present. It's when yeah. you brush your teeth in the morning,
yeah.
when you brush your teeth in the evening. I don't think when you do your makeup, but when you remove your makeup, you're much more focused on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the times. So why don't you take a bit of time on a Sunday? I get it. Women who have kids and so on, but your partner can look after the children
yeah.
for like an hour, half
yeah.
an hour, let's
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
Where you just, it's, and then kids, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
It's mommy's time. It's mommy's Sunday facial.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of my readers or, you know, on this will say they know it's mommy's Sunday
but
facial.
But it's good for them to see that,
yeah.
I think, to know that they're,
yeah.
you know, there's
yeah.
a moment of cherishing
yeah.
yourself
yeah.
in that way.
And also
yeah.
mom is not constantly on tap.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
she's
completely.
Also there. She also needs her own time.
Is a human.
Because, I mean, as mothers, you never, ever put yourself first.
No.
Ever. Which,
yeah.
of course, is completely understandable,
yeah,
but it's important to show your children as well that, you know, you do look up, need to look after yourself too.
You're absolutely right about not looking yourself in a mirror. I was just thinking when you were saying that I very rarely look at myself in a mirror.
Hmm.
Like, it's strange because
yeah.
in my job I
yeah.
probably should, or people would assume I did, but I don't sit there and look at myself. Do you go and have facials as well?
I do. I love something called, I go to the light salon. I love
mm-hmm.
LED. I'm a massive fan of LED. I don't love invasive stuff very
yeah.
much.
Okay.
I'm a bit needle phobic.
Botox
also,
and fillers and stuff. Do you
yeah, I bruise very quickly as well,
okay.
so it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against any of it, by
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against fillers. I'm not against Botox. I'm against crappy fillers, crappy
yeah.
I'm against going to the wrong, not to reputable person.
Right.
I mean, I always say, like, if you break your knee, you're going to go to a proper doctor. You're not just going to go to someone down the road,
yeah.
you know? So.
Yeah.
I think well done. It's and I do 100% believe that people need to do what makes them happy. It's
yeah.
just a problem when they do it because they want to emulate someone else.
I also think there's a thing of do it, but sort of skincare first, because
mm.
you know, to some extent, if you're not looking after your skin, it doesn't matter if it's lifted up and
yeah.
stuff. You won't look radiant.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look
yeah.
Beautiful.
And they're two different
yeah.
things, exactly. Like Botox. Like, look, let's be blunt and honest. If you ask me, which of my creams is going to get rid of wrinkles? I'm going to tell you, well, none. And no other cream that you can buy over the counter on the market is going to get rid of a wrinkle.
Yeah.
If you have a deep wrinkle, the only thing really that's going to work is an injectable.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
However, what an injectable won't give you
mm-hmm.
is glowy, dewy
mm-hmm.
skin. You
Which
can do
is
both.
Youthful in its own
yeah,
way.
But you can
yeah.
do both. I have no problem with that. You
mm-hmm.
can do both. You can do one or the other. But don't be fooled in thinking that a cream will get rid of wrinkles, but equally
mm-hmm.
don't be fooled into thinking that Botox will give you beautiful skin.
Yeah.
It's two different things. They can work hand in hand, and on the right people, we know enough people, celebrities
mm-hmm.
or people in our industry, who do a combination and look phenomenal,
yeah.
you know, and look really happy and glowy. It's just, you know, for me, I do look at young girls and I see a big, I do feel I have a bit of a but I feel a responsibility, and
mm.
I do think, like, when I look at young girls putting filler in their lips, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel
yeah.
about that. You know, why are they doing it? You know,
yeah. I feel massively uncomfortable.
Is this
about
something
it,
that
yeah.
they're gonna, you know, maybe one day regret, or do they think that's normal? Is that the new
yeah.
normal? Maybe. Look, as I said, I'm not in the business of judging people because
mm-hmm.
I don't really like being judged myself, and so and I again. You can never, the one thing don't ever, ever judge someone by what they appear to be, because you don't know. Mm-hmm. You really don't know mm-hmm. what someone is feeling, going through, what's happened, or whatever. I am used to being judged, but you know, I'm an adult. So my sense of self-worth doesn't come from an Instagram picture. If someone says to me, you're ugly, I couldn't care less. I genuinely mm-hmm. couldn't care less. When I was a teenager, it would affect me. Now I'm like, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. that, again, that says a lot about that person.
Yeah.
But when you're a young girl, like I was saying, when I was a teenager, that would have affected me. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I didn't grow up with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are 16 and someone says, you're ugly, go kill yourself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that really affects you.
Yeah.
Now, if someone says that to me, I block them and I report them.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't care less because I literally think, genuinely, I feel sorry for that person
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that person must be in a lot of pain to mm-hmm. say that to someone. I really feel that way, genuinely.
Yeah.
I'm not angry. I really think you must be in a lot of pain to say that to someone that you don't know.
But it's quite great to be an adult and get to that point, isn't it?
But that's why I feel, especially with social media, you know, I do feel like young girls need support.
Yeah. What form do you think that support could take, though? Because that's something people are talking about a lot.
I think, look, I'm not going to pretend I have the answer, because if I did, but I do try on my social, I try to be measured.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be truthful. And when I do get a lot of DMs from mm-hmm. girls saying, Alex, you're so pretty, I feel ugly, when I look at you, I want to kill myself, I engage and I talk.
Right.
And I try to, you know,
yeah,
to talk in the best way that I can. I mean, I'm not a therapist. I'm not pretending to be.
No.
Also, I think by not overexposing myself, I just feel... I stick to, you know, I don't do sexy pictures. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, I try to be quite... I try to show that you can be happy
mm-hmm.
and have a success in a way without having to expose yourself, be it by the way you look or change mm-hmm. the way you look mm-hmm. or by talking in a certain way that you think is going to attract people. I just try to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect. I'm not super, super thin. I'm not fake in my face. I'm, you know, people will say, yeah, but you're pretty. You know what? Like, look, I mean, like I say, I've had my struggles too, but fixing them is not by injecting yourself, by having surgery. I think that will not fix your issues.
Before I let you go, I just want to talk very quickly about inner health and gut health. We were talking about this before we started recording a lot.
Big theme for both of us.
Big theme.
Yeah.
So just, could you just outline what you do, how you look after yourself internally?
What do you mean?
Your internal routine.
My internal routine. You know what? So I've had, since that massive, you know, weight issues I've had, and then I've been on quite a lot of antibiotics as well.
Mm. What, do you get tonsillitis?
No, I get a lot of chest infections. Okay. Can you hear, like I can hear it right now. It's happening. Yeah.
Does it get better when you're in the mountains?
Yes.
Yeah, because I have the same thing, as so does my mum. It might be an Austrian city.
It might be an Austrian thing. Yeah. But I so my gut is not in a great place. And I do believe strongly in the gut skin, gut mind. Gut mind, not just skin, but the mind connection as well. And so I go to a place called Viva Maya in Austria, mm-hmm. and the Maya method, you know, it's something that when you are Austrian, you know, it's something that my grandmother, again, it's a very old method. It's nothing new. This is the other thing. It's nothing new, guys. Like, it's not, it's just that now suddenly we talk about it a lot
also more. We lost the connection for a bit. I feel like we're moving back into it.
But also, I do think it has to do as well with food nowadays just not being the same quality anymore.
No.
So I do know when I eat crappy food, like, it's my mind. I get foggy. Mm. Like, I get sluggish and foggy, which maybe I didn't as much before. I think there's just a lot of crap in food. And so I definitely am quite aware of keeping my gut healthy. Look, don't get me wrong, I love ice cream, I love stuff like that, but I just know what works and what doesn't work for me. So raw food in the evenings doesn't work for me. It's very much a Meyer method. Mm-hmm. I try to food combine.
Mm-hmm.
I try
food combine in terms of,
as in I try not to mix protein And carbs, but it totally fails when it comes to potatoes. But I love potatoes.
Yeah.
And potatoes is my big thing, my big carby thing that I love. I love chocolate, but I'll try to have dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Not too much dairy. You know what I do? I do a lot. I eat a lot of cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar.
As a shot in the morning?
No, I mix it. When I do, I eat a lot of avocados. Okay. I'll mix it in with my avocado. I'll like, as in, instead of lemon.
Right, okay, yeah.
So or I'll use it in dressings. When I do, like, a Dijon, like, I'll do olive oil.
Yeah,
that
you good mustard. Cook.
No, I'm absolutely... I'm a basic cook. Yeah,
okay.
But the thing is, I love to eat, you know? Mm. I really do. I love nothing more than, like, a delicious... I just love it.
Do you take probiotics and supplements?
I do. I take a lot of supplements, but I rotate them.
Okay.
So I try not to take the same thing. I'm definitely on a lot of vitamin D in the winter, especially. And one thing I take religiously is CoQ10 and turmeric.
Right.
Those are two... Well, turmeric is highly anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And CoQ10 is a fantastic antioxidant. And I do believe I've read a lot of research. And those two supplements are hugely beneficial for health in general, longevity. You know, it's not gonna de-age you, but I do think those are two that I really believe in. I take a lot of magnesium. I think as women, there's a lot of lack of magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
You
take base. You take the Myo.
I take base powder when I I have my sachets on me. Actually,
oh, do you?
Yeah.
You're so good.
I'm quite like religious about it.
Yeah.
So I will take it in between meals. I don't love the taste.
How many times
a
day do you take it?
You meant it. I try to take it like between like twice a day between.
Oh, so I only do it once.
Yeah, but at the moment I'm doing it once.
Yeah.
But you know, like, look, I'm not perfect. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a coffee addict.
Do you drink alcohol?
No.
Okay.
But that's, I never did drank much.
Okay.
And also gives me migraines. I get pretty bad migraines. Alcohol is the thing. See, I'm more of a sugar addict than alcohol. I can,
me too.
Alcohol is the one thing I can leave.
Yeah.
Like it's, when people are like, oh my God, Alex, so great you don't drink alcohol. Like, yeah, but it's easy not to do something that you don't really care about.
Yes.
It's a lot harder. If I said to you, I don't eat chocolate, that would be an achievement.
Yeah.
If I said to you, I don't eat like fries, that would be like a big sacrifice. Giving up alcohol for me is not a massive sacrifice.
I stopped properly drinking a year ago. I mean, I never drank a lot either, but I haven't had a touch since last year. And people always go, oh, that's incredible. How do you do weddings? And I'm like, yeah, I just eat cake. Like, I like the cake. It's not, it's not the alcohol. Yeah.
It's funny because I remember years ago, people would say like, why you don't drink alcohol? That almost like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Like they would think I'm weird. Now they're like, oh, wow, amazing.
In English it's funny culture, how though, things change.
But in France as well, you know.
Yeah.
My family, they're big wine drinkers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're used to it now, but that I'm the boring one. But I don't care. I'm not boring. I think I'm hilarious.
Well, on that lovely note, Alessandra, thank you.
Alessandra.
Yeah. Thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.